Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Locker Room. I'm Thomas Tellerino, and alongside me today is my amazing co-host, the one, the only, the biggest San Francisco 49er fan on the planet right now, Jordan Navarro. Jordan, how are we doing today on this Friday?
Well, Tommy, like, technically speaking, biggest 49ers fan, I don't know if I can take that crown. I mean, my brother is probably a bigger fan than me, I'll be honest. But, Tommy, last week, I said on the podcast that there was a little over 48 hours.
Yes, you did.
Until the Dallas Cowboys season ended. I said that. With my whole chest, I said that. And I was right. We were texting back and forth during the game. Excuse me. It was a very stressful game. But we came out on top. And life is good, you know what I mean? But now I'm stressed again. My stress is at not maximum levels yet, but we're getting there. And, you know, that's because the Eagles are coming up. But, Tommy, I'm doing great today. How about you? Are you doing fine? How's your life?
I'm great. Taking it one day at a time. It's a great day to have a day every day.
Absolutely.
That's how I'm viewing it. I know for a fact during that game, the nerves were kicking in. I mean, Kyle Shanahan was not your best friend at that game.
Oh, I'll tell you that. Listen, me and Kyle, we have an open relationship. It's a lot of communication. It's a lot of me screaming at my computer screen and him not listening. But it's fine. You know, at the end of the day, he does what he does and he gets results. So it's perfectly okay. It's a very abusive relationship. But, you know, I'm going to therapy for it and life is good.
Life is good. You know what I mean? but San Fran, 19-12 victory last Sunday night. I gotta say, two players were the reason why he won this game: Fred Warner and George Kittle. Fred Warner, I think, made one of the best plays from a linebacker position I think I've ever seen, to be able to keep up with CeeDee Lamb for about 20 yards downfield, I'd say, from the line of scrimmage.
Don't forget, he showed blitz on that play.
Showed blitz and then
ran back.
Yeah. And then you have George Kittle, who was basically a security blanket the whole game. And then he just made one of the best one-handed catches I think I've seen in the playoffs. Brock Purdy, you know, he settled in. Looked shaky at times, I will say. The pressure was getting him a little bit. But he settled in, stayed calm. Unlike the Dallas quarterback, Dak Prescott, who did not look calm at all, two abysmal interceptions. I don't know what he was throwing at. What'd you see from those two plays?
Well, the first one, D'Amador Lenore ran the route for him. He just kind of tossed it up there. He was late. On that type of play, on that curl route, that's a first read route. You can't be late coming back. You can't he's over there and then look to the right side or left side of the field, wherever it is, and then come back to that. You can't do that. Like, that's just an interception waiting to happen, which is exactly what happened. The second one, listen, they've been putting CD in the slot and they had gotten, you know, some decent gains over the middle. The 49ers adjusted to that and Jimmy Ward kind of crept on the route and it was turning into a little bit of a scramble drill. CD kind of tried to roll out with Dak. He ran right into Jimmy Ward. So I don't know if I put that one much on Dak as much, but I mean, he had to have seen Jimmy. He had to have seen Warner and Jimmy Ward on him, but
that was a tight window to fit for that catch. And when you have Fred Warner and Jimmy Ward, that's a ball you probably 9 times out of 10 shouldn't throw into double coverage. And Nick Bosa and Micah Parsons, that was another key matchup we looked at. Micah was around the field a lot, but I don't think he recorded a sack or anything. Nick Bosa, like you said, we talked about this off camera. They did a good job scheming around him on the Dallas offense. But one hit that the Cowboys had, Tony Pollard went down right at the end of the first half. That got rid of the whole run game. There was no run game after that.
Yeah, you know, it. Zeke is washed, okay? I can't really put it nicely. He's washed. But it shows the ineptitude of Dallas where, you know, you look at last year's game. They had Amari Cooper. They didn't beat us, but they had Amari Cooper. This year, we could be talking about a completely different ballgame if they had Amari Cooper. Because once Tony Pollard went out, CeeDee Lamb was the only playmaker that the 49ers were concerned with. The only one. And, you know, he's still eight. So good on CeeDee. He still had, he played amazingly. But Dallas just, they didn't have, it seemed like last year's team was better. And they just got worse across the board. But they used Tony Pollard more, so it kind of offset it. And they just thought that they had a better offense. They didn't. Touching on Nick Bosa, you know, they did a great job scheming around him. Micah Parsons, on the other hand, man, he had some game-breaker moments. And, Brock Purdy just being able to get out of the pocket just a little bit. If we're talking about Jimmy Garoppolo in this game, Micah Parsons would have had two, maybe three sacks. I'm going to be honest. Like, Mike McGlinchey is 6'8", 310 pounds.
I was just about to say.
And he sidewalk tossed him. He hip tossed him. So, like, Micah Parsons played phenomenally. In the first half, they had him at middle linebacker, Tommy. I talked about in detail what I saw in that Commanders game and how they ran away from him when he was on the defensive end and they opened up cutback lanes because the whole defense was over pursuing the outside zone. 49ers didn't really do any of that at all, but Micah was that middle linebacker and he shut down the run game. But what'd they do in the second half? They went and put him on the line. The 49ers got the run game going. And then they tried to move him back to middle linebacker. We had already hit a 92-yard drive and then a 68-yard drive. The entire defense was dead by that point. And that's when they lost the game.
I was going to say, that 92-yard drive definitely was a tough drive for that Dallas defense because that was the first drive I thought where San Fran really played a lot more physical than them, at least on the offensive side. Because the first half, the run game didn't get going at all, I felt like. You know, they were trying to get McCaffrey involved, a couple screen plays, but the defense was kind of blowing it up right away. But I think it's going to be interesting. I think for Dallas, I don't put this loss on the defense. No. This defense played phenomenal.
This loss is, I'm not going to say completely on Dak because this is a team sport. You lose as a team, you win as a team. But I'll put it on the offense as a whole. Because, Zeke, you're paid the most money of any running back, just about. And I know that you're older, but 2.6 yards a carry? I know you're playing the 49ers defense, and that's credit to the 49ers defense. They completely shut down the run game. But you can't give me anything else? That's it? That's it. And then Dak, bro, you just lit up Tampa Bay. And then 49ers defense. I don't want to sound like the mainstream media because it was always about, how the Cowboys lost this game. They lost this game because the 49ers have an elite defense, the best defense in the NFL. But at the same time, Dak, you are paid $40 million. This is your best, your absolute best. You can beat Tampa Bay in a team that probably shouldn't have made the playoffs in most years. But you come up against the team you're supposed to beat, the team you're paid to beat, the team that you're supposed to give them an advantage over, nothing. Brock Purdy, who didn't play well, there was no noticeable difference, if we're being honest. You couldn't tell me that Brock Purdy, with no outside knowledge, Tommy, with no knowledge of the NFL, if you're just a first-time fan tuning in, you would think those guys are in the same tier as quarterback. You would think they're paid very similarly.
They are not.
That tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up. I don't blame Dak fully for this loss. I think there's a lot of blame just because of the two picks. But I also blame Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy a lot for this loss just because of some of the play calling. And there, I forget how much time was left in the fourth quarter, but they decided to punt the ball, which I thought was very risky. Ultimately, I think it could have gone 50-50 because if they don't get the first down, I believe San Fran would have taken over around the 30 on Dallas's end, maybe 40. But, I mean, he's made calls like that in the regular season to go for it. So it just didn't make sense to not do it in the playoffs. The last play, to me, there was a lot leading up to that last play where I think it's not just that last play's fault of that play call. Like, Dalton Schultz not getting his second foot in bounds is completely unacceptable. There's just no discipline from this Dallas team, I thought, throughout most of the game. I mean, we saw the unnecessary roughness call, I forget on which Cowboys player in the secondary, where he basically just threw one of, I believe it was Ayuk.
It was.
In the sideline. Yeah, and just, I mean, that's unacceptable. But for the 49ers, they survive in advance. And I think they're going to have to rely a lot, again, on their defense based off of what we saw in Philly. We'll talk about Philly in a little bit. How are you feeling about this Niners defense going up against, you know, it's a dynamic offense in Philly?
Well, I look at what Dallas had, and they had Tony Pollard, and, you know, going into the game, I wouldn't have said that Zeke would have averaged 2.6 yards a carry. I would have said Zeke had a bad game, but not that bad of a game. So I'm more scared of Dallas's running backs. Now, the offensive line on Philly is just completely, it's a different monster. It's the best offensive line in the NFL. So their run game overall might be a little bit better, but the playmakers coming out of the backfield, I was much more concerned with Dallas's. You get to the passing offense, and that's where things completely change. Because A.J. Brown is a top 5 wide receiver in the NFL. Devonta Smith is top 10, top 12 wide receiver in the NFL probably right now. He's getting there at least. And then Dallas Goedert is no slouch. He's an elite tight end. With that offensive line, with Jalen Hurts' ability to, you know, take those broken plays and make them into touchdowns and positive gains, Philly's offense is dynamic. And listen, it's going to come down to two position groups. It's going to come down to the DBs. Tre'Davious Ward has not played well in this playoffs. DK Metcalf ate him alive. And CeeDee Lamb, he gave up a bunch of cushion to CeeDee Lamb. And it was early in the first quarter against Dallas. He gave like 7 yards of cushion to T.Y. Hilton. And T.Y. Hilton got like a 12 or 13 yard gain on it. He is ancient. T.Y. Hilton is 33 years old and is coming off a multitude of injuries. Why are you giving him that much cushion? Press him. He's not going anywhere. You're 6'1", 215 pounds. He is 5'10", on a good day, and 150 pounds. What are we paying you for? He's played well. He's, you know, most of the season. So these two games, it's rough two games. I wish he didn't have them, but it happens. He's going to have to play lights out. I could say he has to play a good game. He has to play lights out. He has to play the best game of his career for us to get by Philly. Now, it's not on him because our pass rush has to get there. So it's the DBs and the pass rush. We talked about Lenore and how I thought he's going to get targeted. He has been targeted during the playoffs, but he has responded really well. So it gives me a little bit of comfort there. I'm not really concerned about our nickel and covering their slot guys because Jimmy Ward's been there. He's an all-pro guy. And, I mean, I just saw Fred Warner cover CeeDee Lamb, so, like, Dallas Goedert doesn't really scare me that much. And our linebackers are just so good. So it's on our pass rush. They have to play much better than they did against Dallas. And our DBs, mainly Tre'Davious Ward and our safeties, have to play really well. And I think we match up well against their offense because people overstate that we struggle against mobile quarterbacks. Yeah, we're not going to be able to play man. Like, if we play man, Jalen Hurts is going to have 150 yards against us, okay? Like, but most teams don't play man against mobile quarterbacks because of that. This is not like, you know what I'm like, this is not some rocket science. You don't turn your back on Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, like, of course. So we're going to play a lot of zone, probably, which we're good at anyway. And I'll take our playmakers, you know, zone, our linebackers are amazing. It's just going to be on our pass rush and our DBs to stay disciplined, and I think we're going to be fine. The issue is if our pass rush doesn't get there, we're going to have some issues. Because Jalen, if he's given time, they can hit big plays. So we have to limit the big plays, make this a grindy football game. I think we can do okay.
Got to play to your strengths in this game. I think I'm interested to see Nick Bosa, Lane Johnson matchup just because, you know, Lane Johnson isn't 100%. I'm interested to see how they're going to block Nick Bosa. But on Philly's end, they dominated last week against the Giants, 38-7. I'm not surprised that they dominated. I'm shocked with how big of a blowout it was. We'll talk a little bit about the Giants first. I think this game, what ultimately showed is that they need a lot more. There needs to be a lot more help.
Yeah, I mean, we said before the game, this is going to just be a town. They're going to get out talented.
Yeah,
you know, I don't really think they got out coached that bad. I mean, I think Brian Daboll was probably a little underprepared. Like, to just score 7 points is kind of unfortunate. But it was really just a talent gap. And yeah, you really can't help that. They overachieved. This is not a playoff team by any stretch of the imagination. And they ran into, you know, maybe the best team in the NFL. So that was expected. The best team in the NFL coming off a bye on top of that. You know, they had even more time to prepare for you. They'd already seen you twice in the regular season. So that's just unfortunate for the Giants, but I wouldn't really read too much into it. Like, people are upset and they think it's a disappointment. It's not a disappointment. They won a playoff game and they had no business being in the playoffs. So,
I mean, if you look at the talent during the regular season, like you said, this team shouldn't, based off talent, be even close to a playoff or a divisional round playoff game. I think the best thing that the Giants did, though, in this game, they kind of shut down A.J. Brown. You know, he didn't have that big of a game, but they let every other playmaker do well.
That's another thing, and I'll tie this into the 49ers. People talk about the blowout and how dominant Philly looked. They had 278 rushing yards. That's not going to happen against the 49ers. The Giants have a terrible run defense right now. That's why they did that. And I think people, when they talk about dynamic offenses, people just kind of tend to get into this, like, big play, passing game, quarterback mentality, when really Philly's offense is predicated a whole lot like San Francisco's. San Fran, listen, Brock Purdy threw for, what, like, 330 yards against Seattle? Like, that's an anomaly. That's not how our big plays are not 50, 60-yard bombs. Like, that, Jalen Hurts can do that. But when their run game's going, that's what makes them unstoppable. That was a dominant Philly performance because that's how their offense is supposed to be ran, through the run game. But you're not getting 278 yards on the 49ers. You're not doing it. It's not going to happen. If it happens, Nick Sirianni should win Coach of the Year because of that. Like, it would be like, think about the 08 Giants, right? They went into Baltimore. They had like 200 rushing yards on them, and that Baltimore defense was phenomenal. That's the only time I can ever think of a run game really getting it going against an elite defense. Stopping the run is more of an effort thing than it is a scheme thing. Like, obviously, you know, scheme has a lot to do with it, but our guys give maximum effort. And they're not just going to let you beat up on them. You know, yes, their front is physical. The 49ers are the most physical team in football. So it's not going to be easy to run on us. So the Giants, yeah, like you said, they did a good job containing A.J. Brown because they didn't need to use A.J. Brown whatsoever. Kenneth Gainwell had like 70 rushing yards on 9 attempts. Kenneth Gainwell. That guy sees like 3 plays a game, and they're usually on third down.
Most of it did come off of a big fourth quarter touchdown. Hey,
listen, it is what it is.
I know. I'm just saying. The real giant killer is Boston Scott in that backfield.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they let all the running backs eat. Yeah. You think Boston Scott at 5'6", 205 is going to do anything against the 49ers other than maybe fall into the end zone? Like, come on now. Like, let's be real. Let's be real. You can tell me Jalen Hurts is much better than Brock Purdy and him being a dynamo will be the reason you beat us. You can tell me that. I believe it. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert. You can tell me those things, although I'm not really worried about Dallas Goedert with Fred Warner on my team. You're not going to tell me that Miles Sanders and Boston Scott are going to run for 200 yards. You're not. No. No. You're lying to yourself.
I mean, Dallas couldn't get anything going with Tony Pollard. I think Tony Pollard's a better back than Miles Sanders, so I'm gonna have to agree with you there. I'm glad you did bring up, though, that this Philly offense, they thrive through the run. For a while, or for the first couple of years with Jalen Hurts. The key was to keep him in the pocket and have the run game not be existent for Philly.
Yeah.
He's evolved. This whole season, he has evolved. So how do you stop him now?
Well, he's not Joe Burrow, right?
Yeah.
I think when we play, like, when we played Joe Burrow a couple years back, I feel like we played more man, and we didn't play as much soft zone. And that, you know, we played him a year ago. Like, it's even better now, or he's even better now. You can't play soft zone against Joe Burrow. He's going to pick you apart. It's just like Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, any elite quarterback. They're going to pick you apart. Jalen's not there yet. Now, Jalen, you know, you give him a clean pocket, he's going to hit some plays. But I'm more concerned with bringing pressure, having a man alignment, everyone turns their back, he gets out of the pocket, he's down the field 40 yards. Or he gets out of the pocket, someone breaks open, 60-yard bomb. That's what I'm concerned with. I want to make you hit those 5-yard checks, hit those 6 yards, those 7 yards, work the intermediate level of the field, march down the football field with your arm. That's what we have to do. We're going to have to play zone. We're going to have to make him make those type of throws. Because he's a one-play quarterback. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. Now, he can do what I just said. But we're not talking about the Giants. We're not talking about Dallas. You know, we're talking about the 49ers, the best defense in the NFL, in my opinion. So it's different. So, you know, the thing that makes him scary is he's a one-play quarterback. One play with his legs, he can take it. One play with his arm, he can take it to the house. So we have to make him work. Make him hit multiple throws on drives to keep the drive alive. That's how we're going to have to do that.
I think another thing from this Philly game is their run defense looked phenomenal, I thought. But with that said, I think it's just because that's really all they had to worry about on this against this Giant offense. They didn't really have to worry about the pass offense from this Giants team, I felt like. Because if you match up their wide receivers and corners, Philly's corners beat them by a mile.
Oh, yeah. You know, Darius Slay and James Bradbury are not worried about Isaiah Hodgins.
Yeah.
You know? But that's another thing. I guess, you know, we won't even really get into a segment about the Niners and Philly because we're breaking it down now. But breaking it down even more, you talk about the secondary and how good it is for Philly and how good their defense is. And I have a lot of respect for Philly's defense. I'm not, you know, this is close. They're maybe the number two defense in the NFL, number three, something like that. No disrespect to them. It's going to be a very tough matchup. But we saw with the Cowboys, I said this, you have to be physical with the 49ers offense. You can't, it's not good enough to just be a good secondary because the 49ers don't beat you with traditional routes. Like, Darius Slay isn't going to line up on Debo and, like, you know, like, Debo's going to run a route, sure, but he's not, you know what I mean? Like, he's not a traditional wide receiver. He's not going to beat you with this route combo, this route tree that he runs and Darius Slay studies and, you know, that's not going to happen. All of our guys are going to get the ball at the line of scrimmage. You're going to have to tackle them. And if you can't tackle, which I'm not scared of Darius Slay and James Bradbury, like, they're more ball hawks and really shut down the routes than they are tackling. You're going to have to show me you can come up to the line of scrimmage and tackle. And that's what Philly's going to have to do to beat the 49ers wide receivers. But Philly's run game or run defense, like you said, was much improved. And I think it's being overstated a little bit how bad they are against the run. Because they picked up Linval Joseph and Stew, and they've really helped that run defense a lot. But like I said, we're going to make the second level tackle, and that's the hardest part about the 49ers offense, is tackling for your DBs and your linebackers. You have to do it. You have to stay disciplined. So I think people need to give the 49ers more credit. That's how you're going to have to beat them. You can't just say they have the best pass defense. Okay, yeah, they're allowing the least amount of passing yards. Are they tackling well? That's what I'm worried about. Can you tackle? Because if you can't tackle, Debo's, you know, he's going to take a 3-yard pass and go 40 yards down the field.
That I think that's what kind of showed a little bit in the Dallas game is he wasn't getting 40 yards downfield, but he gets the ball at the line of scrimmage, and he's getting at least around 6 to 5 yards. right after that. And they played a little physical on him, but it wasn't enough. There was a couple big tackles on Dallas's end on him, but you know, Debo already got nine yards on him.
Yeah, you get into the second half, and we've just worn you down.
Yeah.
But in the first half, I thought Dallas played amazingly. Oh, overall, I think their physicality was great. And it's hard to keep that up for a whole 60 minutes, and that's what Philly's going to have to do, or it's going to be a very similar game. I just think it's crazy that people aren't giving the 49ers the respect they deserve. Like, I'm not saying that this is going to be an easy game for the 49ers. I'm nervous as hell. I think, you know, I don't feel good about this game. I could easily see us losing it, and it would not shock me one bit. It would not shock me one bit if Brock Purdy goes out there and plays terrible and we lose. Wouldn't shock me. But let's... What is, you know, Brock Purdy's not playing like Patrick Mahomes, people. It would be different if he's playing like the best quarterback we've ever seen. And people were telling me, well, he's got to turn into a pumpkin at some point. The Cinderella story has to end at some time. He's not doing that. He's game playing manager. Within the system. Yes. Why can't he keep doing that?
Yeah.
It's not like he's playing outlandishly and he's got to come crashing back down to earth. He's just playing okay. He's doing what the system needs him to do without turning the ball over. That's it. He can continue to do that.
And the system's working because, you know, he's throwing to guys like Debo Samuel, like we said, George Kittle, who played phenomenal the last game. And I thought this playoffs in the later half of the season, Brandon Ayuk has stepped up tremendously, I think. I think he's made strides since last year. I think that's going to be an interesting matchup, Ayuk and Debo against the secondary. I think that'll be interesting to see. We'll get into it now. How do you think this game for Philly, San Fran is going to go? What's the game preview looking like?
Well, I think it's going to be a lot like the Dallas game. I think people are expecting maybe a little bit higher scoring. I think both defenses are going to come prepared, and I think it's just going to come down to physicality and tackling on Philly's part. And for the 49ers, it's can you get the run game going, and is Brock going to be able to play turnover-free football? Because if Brock goes out there, throws two picks, and they're on our side of the field, you get behind, then you're worried about Philly. Then that's when that pass defense really, you know, that's when it really starts to make me nervous, because then we are having to take shots downfield. And Darius Slay and James Bradbury are back there, and they're both phenomenal. But if we keep it in a neutral game script, we're not playing from behind, then it's going to be a lot like the Dallas game, and I'll take the 49ers in that type of game. Now, if they get behind, I'll take Philly. I'll take Philly to keep a lead over Brock Purdy. But if Brock just continues to play like he has, mistake-free, you know, calm, collected, just game manage, the 49ers can win this game. And, of course, I'm going to take the 49ers. I'm not going to bet against us. But it's making me nervous because I do think Philly is going to come prepared. I think they're being underrated a little bit because of their run defense numbers. But I'm taking nothing for granted. I have the utmost respect for Philly. So I think it's going to be a good game.
I think this is also going to be a good game. I think it comes down to one score. Defense wins championships. We've heard it time and time again. And I think San Fran's defense is just slightly better all around. I'm taking San Fran. Also, I think if Brock Purdy can stay cool under pressure against that Dallas defense, I think he can do it against this Philly defense because they're very similar, in my opinion, at least with the pass rush. They both have guys. Hassan Reddick, I'm not saying he's exactly like Micah Parsons, but he's a similar pass rush guy who has, I believe, was top three in sacks this season, maybe top four. So it's definitely another player to look out for, how they scheme around that. I think, like we said earlier, though, this San Fran defense is a lot better against the run. And I think that's where Philly is going to struggle, because if you look at all their losses, Washington got to them because they couldn't run the ball. The Saints got to them because they couldn't run the ball. Yes, I know Jalen Hurts wasn't playing, but they still got to them through that. And Dallas got to them also. They didn't get a lot of running in the game. So I think San Fran, the defense, I think, is just phenomenal with some of the playmakers, and it showed that throughout that whole Dallas game, and I think they're going to step up again. Fred Warner, I think, could have another big game. You know, we've seen the plays that he's been able to make But I think he's just going to build off that performance from last week. I think I'd be scared if I was Philly. You definitely got to scheme around him because he will cover the whole field. So I'm interested to see how that's going to go.
And for our defense, it is going to be about definitely stopping the run. But it's going to be bend, don't break. Because Jalen Hurts isn't going to give us two boneheaded picks like Dak gave us. It's not going to happen. That offense isn't going to give you free chances at the football. So when we go down into the red zone, we have to score 7. Has to be 7. When they go down, we're going to have to keep them to a field goal. Because I'm not blind and naive. I don't think this is going to be a 7-3 game. I know Philly's going to score. I'm willing to bet they score probably at least 2 touchdowns. We have to bend, don't break. We have to keep up with them, keep it in a neutral game script, and we have to hold them to some field goals, and we have to score touchdowns on most of our drives when we get into the red zone.
We're going to have to wait and see. Sunday, it's going to be an interesting day of football, but we'll switch over to the AFC side now. The first game last Saturday was Kansas City in Jacksonville. Kansas City walked away with a 27-20 win, but I think more importantly, Patrick Mahomes, terrible injury to have at this time of year. I believe it ended up being, did they label a high ankle sprain?
Yeah, it's a high ankle.
He put on a performance, though, I will say, with that hurt injury. But I think the bigger player, Travis Kelce, 10 catches in the first half alone. He ended the game with 2 touchdowns, just biggest security blanket. But Jacksonville, this is a team I think it's exciting for the next couple of years.
Jacksonville could have easily won that game. Christian Kirk catches that 60-yard bomb. Also, hold on. Chris Collinsworth, what happened, man? Well, what are they paying you to not be unbiased? Because every little thing Patrick Mahomes does, you're all over him. And I get it. I get it. He's amazing. Tony Romo, same thing. Mr. January. We'll get to him in a second.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get to him. All right.
What are they paying these guys to just be... I don't want to be vulgar, so I'm just going to be the number one fan, the number one stan of the quarterback, a number one Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen fan club members. What are they paying y'all? Because you can't be unbiased. Because, and the reason I bring this up, Chris Collinsworth said that throw that Trevor Lawrence had to Christian Kirk, it was like a 60-yard bomb, was overthrown.
It was Chris, not.
Are you blind? It was. That might have been. Like, that P.J. Walker throw to D.J. Moore earlier in the year was insane. But in the playoffs, in the situation they were in, that might be the best throw of the season. It was a dime. It was amazing. He threw it before Christian Kirk got open. Christian Kirk dropped it. So you take that, that's 3 or 7. He catches that, that's 3 points or 7 points. Jamal Agnew. Man, he had the most roller coaster game ever.
Yeah.
He had some really big plays, he had some really some head scratchers, and then fumbles on the 2-yard line. He doesn't do that. That's 3 or 7. We're talking about Jacksonville potentially winning this game by a touchdown or, you know, maybe sending it to overtime. And listen, Trevor Lawrence did not get outplayed. Now, you know, if Patrick Mahomes didn't have the bum ankle, maybe he puts up even gaudier numbers because he missed like 13 plays or something like that. But Trevor Lawrence showed out. He played a good game. He had some really bad drops by his receivers. But, man, the prince that was promised in Dougie P, they're serious.
Something. Yeah.
They couldn't stop Travis Kelce because they ain't got nobody on that defense that can stop him. Trayvon Walker has been a bum this year. I'm going to be honest. He's shown flashes, but he's not been looking like he's worth the first overall pick, so he needs to show out next year. But they got something brewing there. They need to keep getting some talent. But something's there.
I can't believe Christian Kirk dropped that. I'm gonna be honest, because that was a beautiful throw, like we said. And I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, he says that was an overthrown throw. But Patrick Mahomes throwing the ball in the dirt. Oh, that's a beautiful play right there. I mean, come on. You can't be more biased than that. Like, I get that, like, they all have their favorites. I mean, it's inevitable.
Yeah.
But you can't show them that bad. I mean, the guy literally said that was an amazing throw as he threw the ball 2 yards in front of him into the dirt because, oh, he was going to throw an interception if he threw that.
And it almost kind of looked like the ball slipped out of his hands, to be honest.
I think it did.
Like, I wasn't even convinced that it did it on purpose.
Because I don't think they labeled it or called it a fumble at first, but it definitely looked like a fumble at first.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you brought that up. But I think he hit everything on the head for Jacksonville. Kansas City, I mean, the offense is what we thought it was going to be. Defense.
And they.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and, you know, you talk about the offense. Jacksonville lost this game very early on. They didn't lose it because of the Jamal Agnew fumble. I know people are jumping down his throat. It was not his fault. They lost that game when they let Chad Henne go 98 yards, drain copious amounts of minutes. I don't even know how many. Copious amounts of minutes and time off the clock. And score a touchdown. That's when they lost the game, right then and there. Had they held them to points, or like three, or, you know, stopped them like they should, and scored, they might win that game. Mike Caldwell, it was a horrible defensive coordinator performance. We had Patrick Mahomes on a bum ankle, and we stopped sending pressure.
I was just about to say.
I don't know. I've played Madden. If Tom Brady's in the pocket, I usually pressure him. Like, if he's on a bum ankle, I might send some pressure.
You might just send two people if he's on a bum angle.
Yeah. You know, and then we have Chad Henne. We don't send pressure at him. No, you know, the guy who has 10 snaps all season and he's coming into a playoff game and it's a close game and people are holding their breath because the superstar just got hurt. Don't send pressure. No. Sit back. Let him continue to hit 3-yard checkdowns.
For 90 yards.
For the next 10 minutes. Convert a couple third downs. Yeah, that's fine. We'll play soft zone, which is the easiest defense for you to play. Like, think about this. If you're a backup quarterback, Tommy, you have 5 snaps all season. You're not used to the game speed at all outside of practice, which you're not taking any of the snaps, Tommy, throughout the week. You're not taking any of them because guess what? You're the backup. You're not the practice squad guy because you're not the QB3. So guess what, Tommy? You're sitting there with the clipboard in your hand like an idiot. Like you're another assistant coach. Like you're a graduate student.
I mean, he's done that career, too.
What do you think? Chad Henne is a professional. He is the definition of a professional. And he's one of the best backup quarterbacks in NFL history, to be honest with you. He's one of the greatest clipboard holders we've ever seen.
Look at the resume.
But if I was coming in that situation, I would hope you would play soft zone. I got to the NFL, so I know I can read defenses a little bit, just a little bit. I would rather you sit back, only rush 3 or 4, and, you know, maybe I can pick you apart, especially with Travis Kelce. He's one of the best route runners against zone. I can just hit him. He's 6'6". He's hard to miss. Or would I rather you send, you know, 5-6 people at me, blitz me, send a zero at me, and I'm struggling and I don't really have a grasp for the playbook because I haven't taken any snaps and maybe I throw a pick and I'm nervous. No, Mike Caldwell, we don't want that. We just sit back. Just, you know, let him get the 3-4 yard easy checkdowns to the running backs and Travis Kelce and, you know, I'll march down the field.
You know, their number one pick was not blitzing at all on those plays, probably.
No.
Let's not send our number one overall pick in the whole NFL to go sack a quarterback, whether it be Henning or Patrick Mahomes at this time. I think everything was summed up in this game that we saw. I mean, is there anything else to describe it than terrible game management on the defensive end?
Mike Caldwell played scared. He coached not to lose, which is not how you want to coach. And then going on to the Chiefs side, I know where you're going with the defense. Somehow, the Chiefs are always ranked like 22nd, 23rd in defense. And then the playoffs comes around, and they play outstanding. I'm a fan of LeJarrison. I think he's a good player. Why does he turn in to Jalen Ramsey every playoffs? But I'm getting sick and tired of this. Jalen Watson, I'd never even heard of him. One-handed interception? Okay. Cool.
It's like they only coach him in the playoffs. They like, you know, for the regular season, they just let them go out there, do whatever they want. That's all right. We have Patrick Mahomes. He'll keep us in the game.
And you look at the Chris Jones stat, 13 games, he doesn't have a sack. That should, you should lose some of those games. No, they win everything. He doesn't have to get sacks because the rest of the defense plays phenomenal. But the regular season, if Chris Jones isn't playing well, the defense would be playing awful. I don't get it.
I'm glad you brought that up because Chris Jones, you know, they kept saying that during the broadcast. Oh, I forget the exact number of how many sacks he had, but it's like almost every year come playoff time, he's not getting those sacks. It only comes in the regular season. And then these guys in the secondary step up. So I'm not surprised with how it goes anymore with that Kansas City defense, just because
yeah, how many years. Listen, it's like the Patriots, you know. I was talking to my brother about this and why I'm scared. Like, if the 49ers were in the Super Bowl, I'd rather play Cincinnati than Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes is getting to that level. It's like playing Tom Brady. It's like, okay, something's going to go their way eventually. It's going to be a pick, a fumble. Something's going to happen. They're going to get the ball back. Just got to deal with it. If fourth quarter, they're probably going to tie the game. Yep, we're up 2 touchdowns. The game is even, okay? It's 0-0 until the clock ends. And then it's whatever the final score is against Patrick Mahomes, and that's how it was against Brady. Something's going to go their way. I promise you. I put my life on it. They're going to get a pick. They're going to get a turnover. One of your DBs is going to fall down, and they're going to get a free 75-yard touchdown. Something is going to happen that is just so abnormal that it's like it's cursed. Like, your team is cursed when you play. It is how it is. And that just shows how great that team is coached when it comes to the playoffs and just how, like, terrifying. I would rather play Joe Burrow with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Joe Mixon and Hayden Hurst and all those guys than play Patrick Mahomes with Jerick McKinnon as his wide receiver one. Think about that.
You're getting flashbacks from 2019-2020 season yes. Right now. We better move on before something bad happens in Jordan's head. We'll go over to the other side of the AFC bracket. The Bengals went to Buffalo, walked away with a 27-10 victory. I'm not
sure.
This
game was over after the first drive. Let's be honest.
I'll say after Buffalo's first drive. Because Cincinnati scored right off the bat. But Buffalo didn't respond at all. They didn't respond. They came out. Yeah, they came out flat.
Flat. I mean, it looked awful. They should be embarrassed. I'm going to be honest. Where do you go if you're Buffalo? Because you have no offensive identity. Tommy, their offensive identity is, please, Josh Allen, turn into Superman. Because if you don't, we're going to lose. And Stephon Diggs was upset. I don't blame him. He should have got the ball 30 times. Why not? He's the only player that can do anything in that pass game. He's the only one. Gabe Davis can run a straight line pretty decently. Decently. Yeah. Not even that great. Just decently. Cole Beasley is 45 years old.
And didn't play half the year.
He's a practice squad player. Isaiah McKenzie is 5'5", 110 pounds. He looks like a middle schooler.
Had one good game against New England. That's it for his career.
Their offensive line is the definition of average. It's not that good. It's really not. Your defense, you paid Von Miller, who's ancient, 33 years old, 6 years, $140 million to stop Patrick Mahomes, to stop Joe Burrow, to rush the passer, because you have PTSD from losing in 13 seconds because you don't know how to cut a seam against Travis Kelce and know how to tackle. You have PTSD, so you think you had to go pay Von Miller all that money. Von Miller wasn't there. That contract is probably going to be an albatross now, unless Von Miller is just, listen, he's a Hall of Famer. I won't doubt that he'll come back and still be impactful, but to be worth that, you're talking about needing prime Von Miller. That's not going to happen.
Especially after an Achilles and an ACL injury now.
Yeah, so I feel bad for Josh Allen. He played bad. Like, I won't sugarcoat it. I'm a huge Josh Allen fan. He played bad. But it's not all on him. Yes, he has a lot of turnover. Like, he's still the number three quarterback in the NFL. Like, we're not going to discredit Josh Allen. That's not – we're not going to do that. Is he behind Joe Burrow now? Sure. but he is still elite. This is not because Josh Allen is a bad quarterback is the reason they lost. It's because the rest of the team is awful. The offense is atrocious. It has no identity. Sean McDermott hasn't developed the offensive line at all. The run game, it's not a talent issue. Devin Singletary and James Cook are fine. If they had a good offensive line, that run game would be perfectly fine. James Cook averaged 5.7 yards a carry. Not his fault. But then the defense, Sean McDermott, this great defensive coach, where were you? You played soft zone and Joe Burrow was...
He was...
It was like pitch and catch. He it was cooked in the snow, yeah. Tommy, yeah. In the snow.
I mean, he was...
Another thing. We're in Buffalo. It's snowing. Oh, we love it. We love the snow in Buffalo. We're the Bills Mafia. We're out there shirtless. It's negative 32 degrees outside. Yeah. I'm 16 beers in. You know, we love the snow. This is home field advantage.
Not anymore.
Didn't look like they wanted to be out there. Didn't look like a single player on the field wanted to be out there.
Except you know for who Dick. Wasn't?
Yeah. You know who wasn't concerned with the snow? Or that it was snowing? Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow. They weren't. They had a game plan. Short passes. They wore the all-white unis. They were in camouflage. Y'all, they got your ass kicked at home in a Buffalo-type game because Josh Allen didn't turn into the Winter Soldier and Sean McDermott is overrated as a head coach. That's why you lost. It's not Josh Allen's fault that he can't have an average game and win. That's the team's fault. I'm glad Stephon Diggs got angry. I'd be angry too. I would be angry at Josh Allen. I'd be like, man, come on. You know, you want to be the MVP. You want to be the best quarterback. Let's do this together. Just one time. I just need you one game. Couldn't do it. But at the same time, I'd be yelling at Sean McDermott too. Why am I not getting the ball?
It's our ball.
Put me at running back. Do something. Show me that you want to win. It didn't look like they wanted to win after the first drive, Tommy. Not at all. They came out flat, and they were spectators. There was not another team on the field. It was 11 versus 0. They were watching Joe Burrow. They are watching him carve their defense to shreds and put on a masterpiece.
Honestly, it was just a tune-up for Kansas City. It really was. To get them ready for the Kansas City environment, because it's probably going to be similar. I'm glad you brought up,
minus all the snow, probably.
Yeah. Sean McDermott did not do a great job coaching at all. No, the thing that I saw before this game, he's the only defensive specialist head coach left in the playoffs. It didn't show. Didn't show at all in that game. There was no defense. I mean, right from the first drive, Joe Burrow was going out, hitting Hayden Hurst in stride, Tyler Boyd in stride, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins, all of them were in stride. Not one of them was shut down the whole game. And
we're saying it's 27-10. It should have been 34-10.
Yeah.
Ja'Marr Chase caught. That was a touchdown.
Yeah.
Should have counted as a touchdown.
I mean, there was another one that was similar the couple weeks prior where they called it a touchdown. So if that's in Cincinnati, that's called a touchdown. I will say.
Oh, another thing. He missed Hayden Hurst on an easy one.
Yeah.
Overthrew him. It should be 41-10.
Yeah. And not only did you let every wide receiver eat, you let Joe Mixon eat in this game.
Yeah, their run. I mean, the Bengals' run game has been okay. It's probably better than the both of us would like to admit that it's been in the second half.
Yeah.
Because of how bad it looked in the first half.
It was
half.
Abysmal in the first half.
But y'all y'all rolled over for Joe Mixon.
And it's not like Cincinnati has a great offensive line either.
They were playing with three backups.
Yes. I mean, Joe Mixon wasn't getting touched for the first five yards.
Nope.
So, I mean, like you said, if you're Buffalo, that was their championship window. I mean, that was their year. That's what we heard all year. This is their year for how many years now since 2020?
I mean, it's – again, it's a complicated issue. But it's not Josh Allen's fault. If I'm Diggs, am I mad that he didn't try to do more? Yes, he did look defeated. But can you blame him? Tommy, I know you're a Buffalo Bills hater. You don't like the fan base. I get that. But let's be unbiased here for a second. If you're Josh Allen, bro, I'm tired. This has been going on for 2 years.
Three.
I don't want to have to be Superman every game. Can I get some easy throws? Where was our offensive game plan in the snow? Coach, you want me to throw a what? A 50-yard bomb? In a blizzard? I can't even see the DBs because they're wearing white? Coach, can I get some handoffs? Can we get a run game going? Can I get a couple, you know, easy throws? No, can't do that.
I'm glad you brought that up just because, you know, they have great passing back options. I mean, they just traded for Hines, but they didn't even
use Cook can catch.
Yeah, I was about to say James Cook as well. They don't use any of the running backs in the passing game, it seems like. And I'm glad you brought up Josh Allen being Superman because it kind of reminds me. I mean, he gets beat up a lot since he runs the ball a lot. If he sticks up like that, or if he keeps going at this pace, it reminds me a lot of Cam Newton. Yeah. I think his body's not going to hold up. It's going to break down. I'm not saying he plays like Cam Newton. I'm saying with the way he runs and with the hits he's taking, his shoulder is not going to hold up. And you're kind of already seeing it because the elbow was a problem this year. I think it lingered on into the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, he was healthy for most of the second half.
I think he'll probably get a cleanup procedure we won't hear about in the offseason, I'm going to be honest. But, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because it's unfair to him, Tommy. It really is. He should have help. Look at all the offenses that are left. Even Kansas City. Yeah, they only have really Travis Kelce as their superstar, but they have so many guys with defined roles. Justin Watson, Marquez Valdes-Scantling are your deep threats. Kadarius Toney's a gadget, do-it-all type player. Juju, really good intermediate, you know, good possession guy. Jerick McKinnon, Isaiah Pacheco. They have weapons. Cincinnati, weapons. Both the NFC teams, weapons galore. What does Josh Allen have? Stephon Diggs and two good running backs that can't do anything because the offensive line is atrocious. That's what he has. And he has a defensive head coach who has not tried to implement any offensive scheme, any offensive identity, because they have leaned into Josh Allen being a superhuman, and they feel like they no longer have to have a scheme, that he's just supposed to carry them. I bet Cincinnati doesn't ask Joe Burrow to carry them. They know he's going to perform, but they also know he's going to execute the game plan to perfection. I bet Josh Allen can execute a game plan to perfection. Just a guess. You know, just a hypothesis I have. I don't know. Maybe he can't.
I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, usually their game plan is Josh Allen being Superman and hyper-target Diggs. When he doesn't get the targets, what now? So I think we've hit everything on the head for this game. The last thing that I will say from this game, Eli Apple is a menace to society. If you haven't seen, he is clowning everyone on Buffalo like Cincinnati's already won the Super Bowl. Fella, you got one more game to play against Kansas City, and we'll get into it now. How's this game going to go out?
Well, they're calling it Burrow ahead, apparently, and they need to be careful about that. Listen, this is the most disrespected the Chiefs have ever been that I've ever seen. Patrick Mahomes is on a bum ankle, I get it, but I don't think it's as bad as they say it is. Because if it was really that severe of a high ankle sprain, he wouldn't have been able to play. It would have been physically impossible for him to continue that game. It just would have. Like, we saw Mac Jones with that injury. It's tough. And you can't really do anything on that ankle, and it was on his drive leg on top of that. You know, it creates a whole lot of issues. I think Patrick Mahomes is fairly healthy. I'll put it at 80, 85%, enough.
Enough,
it really
won't
be that noticeable. Now you have Vegas moving the line, and you don't even have home field advantage anymore because home field advantage is 3 points. I think it's at like one. I think Kansas City's favored by one or something. And people are thinking Cincinnati's going to go in here and just win. Like, it's a foregone conclusion. No. Joe Burrow's a great elite quarterback, number two. Patrick Mahomes is still the best quarterback in the NFL. Let's not trip. He's still the best quarterback in the NFL. Joe Burrow can't do what Patrick Mahomes does. Joe Burrow's amazing. I've seen Patrick Mahomes run around in the backfield for 15 seconds and just throw something crossbody, like no look, crossbody, far hash for a first down. Just out of nowhere. For no reason. Just because he can't. He can't do that. Patrick Mahomes is an alien. Okay? He's an alien. Now, it's close. But Patrick Mahomes is an alien. They're disrespected and they're at home. And guess what? They're not Buffalo. Frank Clark and Chris Jones are not going to just let Joe Burrow with three backup offensive linemen just have no pressure. They're going to get home. Kansas City's defense is going to play better than Buffalo's defense. I guarantee it.
I think some of the disrespect that they're getting is because it kind of seems like Cincinnati's had their number the past three matchups.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. And I completely understand that. And that's why I'm still taking – I'm going to take Cincinnati to win this game, but I'm not taking it for what the general public seems to be taking it as. They think Patrick Mahomes is going to be, oh, he's 50%. It's just not going to be that good, and he's not going to be able to compete. And it's going to be like a shootout or something. No, I think this is going to be a fairly close game, and I'll just take Joe Burrow just beating Patrick Mahomes just because of weapons, maybe. Right, maybe the weapons close the gap. But remember last year, Kansas City almost won that game. It took some really big plays by the defense, Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson, for Cincinnati to win that game. So I think it's going to be the same thing. I think all the pressure is on the Cincinnati defense. I think the offenses are going to do what the offenses are going to do. I think it's going to be on the Cincinnati defense to win them that game again.
Well, it's kind of like the Cincinnati's defense is kind of similar to the Kansas City defense, where it's like, oh, well, this defense isn't that great. Come playoff time, it's completely different.
Yep.
I'm also taking Cincinnati in this one. Based off of the weapons that Joe Burrow – and with how calm and collected Joe Burrow is, I think – if they get the run game going on top of having the receivers against Kansas City, I think that puts them over the edge. Cincinnati's going to have a tough time with this Kansas City defense. Yes, it doesn't have Tyreek Hill anymore compared to last year's playoffs, but you still have to worry about a lot of the guys, especially more now out of the backfield. Jerick McKinnon fits amazingly in the system. A lot of people forget he was a stud in Minnesota before he came over to San Fran, had an injury history, and he's playing really well. And Isaiah Pacheco is another amazing steal for this Kansas City offense. I believe they got him in the 7th round, and he's probably going to be the starter next year. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has lost his job.
Yeah, we haven't seen Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Yeah. I don't. The reason I'll say the weapons, and although they haven't missed a beat without Tyreek Hill, I don't think they've been put in a position, talent-wise, at the quarterback position and coaching. Listen, Zach Taylor, people like to say that Joe Burrow's kind of making his career. I've never seen him really get out-coached in a big game, to be fair. He's always come prepared, generally. So I'll take Andy Reid and the coaching staff for sure over the Bengals. But I don't think Zach Taylor will just get out-coached. So if we say it's only a slight advantage in the coaching, and we say it's a slight advantage at quarterback, but he's got a bum ankle now, and we say the defenses are about even, the weapons went out for me, and they haven't been put in that position where they've been about even, and they haven't missed Tyreek Hill yet. I think this is a game where they're going to miss Tyreek Hill.
I was just about to say.
Yeah, Travis Kelce can get his 11, 12 catches, whatever, fine. Let him have him. He's not going to score 4 touchdowns on us.
Juju Boo Boo Smith Schuster. I mean, he's not going to have to worry about him compared to Tyreek Hill.
Look at the AFC West this season. Denver, massive advantage at quarterback, massive advantage at coaching. Didn't need Tyreek Hill to beat them. Chargers, massive advantage at quarterback. Well, I won't say massive, but pretty substantial advantage at quarterback right now, and massive advantage
even wider at coaching.
Yes. Didn't need Tyreek Hill to beat them. The Raiders?
Yeah, I mean, is that... Yeah.
Not close.
Yeah.
This is the game. This is the team. And even against Buffalo, they would have had a massive advantage in the coaching department there too. And honestly, the weapons are probably better for Kansas City.
As a whole, yeah.
Yes. So you get to Cincinnati, weapons, Cincinnati's weapons are better. Quarterback, the advantage isn't that. It's not that big. Coaching, maybe substantial advantage to Kansas City, but I've never seen Zach Taylor just put up a dud of a game plan. It's our playmakers. Who's going to make the play? And I'm going to take Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins over only Travis Kelce, really.
Ja'Marr, you say it. Ja'Marr, I like it. It's going to be a battle of the Titans, I think. Both of these championship games, I think, are going to be really good. I think they're both going to come down to the wire. I hope we don't get blowouts. Anything else you want to add for these playoff games?
No.
Before we go, breaking news yesterday, Frank Wright becomes Carolina's next head coach. For me, this one kind of came out of left field. I was kind of shocked by this. What were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting him to go to Carolina, but I don't mind it for the Panthers. I hope they take a quarterback. I would feel terrible for Frank Reich to go from the Colts, where it was always veteran quarterbacks that were there on their last legs, to go to Carolina and they're getting Jimmy Garoppolo, or, you know, God forbid they try to get Tom Brady or something like that. Hope they draft a quarterback, let him get a young quarterback he can coach up and mold. But they've got a good offensive line, good upcoming offensive line. They got DJ Moore. You know, they've got some pieces on that offense to work with if he gets a quarterback. Defensively, that team is probably better than people think it is. I think if he gets a good defensive coordinator in there, they can coach them up. They could be pretty good. So I think it's a decent landing spot. I think Carolina is a lot closer to the playoffs than people think. I like it.
I think they're a lot closer because they're also in the NFC South.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you look at the other teams in that division, they're kind of in the same state as Carolina, where it's kind of like, what do we do now? Carolina, you have to rebuild, but you can still stay competitive in a rebuild, I think, with them. So it'll be interesting. A lot of people are shocked they didn't stick with the interim head coach. Do you think they should have done that or signed Wright?
Listen, we had two defensive coaches in the playoffs. We had Brandon Staley.
We saw how that went.
Got embarrassed. And then we had Sean McDermott, who got embarrassed.
Yeah.
Offensive-minded coaches are just ahead right now because offense is ahead. And I think it's going to be hard for a defensive-minded coach, unless your name is Bill Belichick, to really compete. Like, it's a trend right now. And I think you're dumb if you don't follow it. It's not the time to hop off the trend yet. Go with the offensive coach.
I mean, we've seen for the past couple of years, a lot of people have been going more offensive anyways. Coaching move, Bill O'Brien signs back with New England for an offensive coordinator role. I think this is great, especially for Mac Jones. I think he can develop tremendously better instead of having Matt Patricia. But that's like saying 2 + 2 = 4. So, but only up from here for them. What'd you think of the Bill O'Brien signing for offensive coordinator?
Well, Tommy, I want to listen here. I'm from the University of Alabama. I want to give you a sales pitch right here. Yeah. Tommy, I see here on your resume that you got fired from your head coaching job.
I did.
You have experience in the offensive coordinator position.
Yep.
So what I'm going to do, I'm going to extend an offer from Nick Saban personally. We're going to beat you down here. You're going to coach a bunch of five stars, have a huge talent gap and advantage over everybody. Except for Georgia, but we're going to catch up to them. They had a good 2 years. We're getting back at them now.
Roll Tide.
So we're going to have you be the offensive coordinator. You're going to win, you're going to get shit on when we lose because I'm Nick Saban. And,
I don't lose.
It's just how it goes. Yeah. It's your fault, not my fault. But we're going to win a couple natties. And then you're going to get you a head coaching job or you're going to get you a coordinator job back in the NFL. And that's how a rehabilitation program goes. Now, Tommy, that was like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. That was Bill O'Brien. And he went to the rehabilitation center, Nick Saban's. It's a great place, 5 stars. And he's back in the NFL now. You know, everyone's forgotten that he traded DeAndre Hopkins for a box of Fruity Pebbles and that he had Deshaun Watson on his roster. Everyone's forgotten.
He's not making that. Moves now, though. He doesn't have to worry about those moves.
He's the offensive coordinator now. I think he's a fine offensive coordinator. Yeah, all seriousness, I think he's fine. And I think he'll be good for Mac. But like you said, I mean, anything's a step up for Matt Patricia. Yeah. And me and you with a Madden playbook is a step up for Matt Patricia.
Honestly, just drawing plays on a football is better than Matt Patricia.
So, yeah, I think he'll do fine. He knows Bill Belichick. I think he's a decent offensive coordinator. So I think he should definitely improve that offense as a whole, help Mac a lot. I don't know if he's the end-all, be-all.
No.
But we'll see. Again, rehabilitation center. He had to pick up a trick or two from Nick Saban. You know, it's a really good place. It's, you know, the next person that goes there, probably Cliff Kingsbury. He's in Thailand right now.
He ain't worried about football.
Nick Saban's going to give him a call here in a couple days. Because Matt Rhule went straight to Nebraska.
Dumb move. I mean.
But, yeah. If you ever get fired, the first person you should call is Nick Saban.
Every time.
If you're an offensive coordinator, offensive coach, call Nick Saban. All right. He's a great program down here.
Better call Saban. another coordinator position that was open was the Jets. They went with Nathaniel Hackett.
It looks terrible because of what just transpired.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, Nathaniel Hackett is not a terrible offensive coordinator. I do question whether he's Adam Gase because his offenses were like 11th, 12th, 20th, 27th. Like they weren't consistent until he got Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
That'll help any offensive coordinator. He's like Nick Saban. You don't have to do a whole lot. Especially when you're under Matt LaFleur, who's he's also a great offensive coach. So I question it, but we've heard that Aaron Rodgers could be traded to the Jets. So if that's their plan there, then fine. He also has experience with Robert Saleh. So I think it's an okay move. I think they definitely could have done better. But if their plan is to try to go after Aaron Rodgers, then whatever. You know, throw all your chips in the middle, I guess.
I think that's exactly what they're doing because, honestly, I think the original plan when Hackett took that job in Denver was to have Aaron Rodgers, but he got Russell Wilson.
Let's think about this from Nathaniel Hackett's point of view. He's going to get paid the next couple of years, millions.
Bring me my money.
Yeah. So he could have sat on the couch and let everyone forget about what happened and how he was the worst head coach of all time.
Other than Urban
they
Meyer.
They had to hire, who was it? I don't even remember the guy's name. Never mind. I'm not going to slander him. But, you know, he could have sat on his couch and let everyone forget about all that. Probably got an analyst job on CBS.
Fox Sports.
For, like, the Big 12 conference for college games, something like that, where no one's going to watch it. You know what I mean? But no, he chose to go right back into the job market and getting himself an offensive coordinator job. Now, to me, that means he knows that he's not going to be stuck in a bad position. You know, why would I be the offensive coordinator for Zach Wilson? That sounds like I'm asking to be fired next season. So
you already went with that with Russell Wilson.
Mike White. You know, that sounds like I might get 2 years with Mike White and then I'm going to be fired the next season. So I feel like Robert Saleh is probably like, hey, man.
We're getting Rodgers.
Yeah. I don't know Aaron.
You do.
But we're going to get him. And, you know, let's see if you guys can work some magic. Now, again, if he goes there and Aaron Rodgers is still kind of mediocre, then it's a Matt LaFleur thing, and he's going to get fired. But the Jets are willing to take that bet because, I mean, their alternative is Zach Wilson.
And Mike White.
I don't think they want to do that again. Or Joe Flacco. So
even Sauce Gardner doesn't want to do that again. And
hey, Sauce Gardner had never played Madden.
I know.
Mike White was on the roster. He did not make substitutions, Tommy. Stop this slander right now.
I'm just saying, I don't think he'd want to go through another season of Mike White and Zach Wilson. I get it. I think that's all I got for today. Anything else you want to add in this one?
No, I just want to give a big old shout out to Nick Saban for getting Bill O'Brien back in the NFL. Shout out to you.
I think you're going to be in for an interesting weekend. If things don't go 49ers way, are we going to see you for the next episode?
Nope. My name will be Julio Franco, and I'll be living in Mexico off the land.
All right. We'll have to wait and see how that turns out.
Yep. Absolutely.
That's going to do it for us today. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode. We'll see you guys next time.
Peace.